Pet Care section.
Free Talk Live, it's your show, and you can bring up what you want just by dialing the toll-free number brought to you by SACL CAI. That's 1-800-259-9231. SACL CAI toll-free line, again, 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. The show is about your calls, if you make them, in between your calls. And now we'll talk about stuff that is interesting to us. And I know, Mark, you've been holding on to this printed out letter, I guess, that someone sent you. And we will get to that. But first, I felt like this is one of those stories that it just needs to be up front. Because it's been a while since we've heard a story like this. And unfortunately, we have heard stories like this before. So this isn't the first time. In fact, it may be the third story like this that we've come across. From the Detroit Free Press at freep.com. A diabetic Detroit man was mistaken for a drunken driver by Allen Park and Dearborn police recently.
I think it's the fourth.
Maybe. And brutally beaten to the point that he had to have part of his brain surgically removed, say the man's wife and their attorney.
That's pretty brutally beaten. Now, go ahead. I'm not quite ready to make a statement.
Ernest Griglin, age 59, has been comatose and on a ventilator since the June 15th incident, said his attorney Arnold Reed. Reed filed a lawsuit in federal court today against the Allen Park and Dearborn Police Departments and five officers on behalf of Griglin and his wife Pamela. They're seeking $20 million in damages. Of course, if they get the $20 million, it won't be coming from the paychecks of the officers.
Nope, it'll be coming from the taxpayers of, what, Detroit?
Yep. According to, or Allen Park and Dearborn, I guess those are suburbs Detroit or something. Anyway, according to the complaint, Mr. Griglin was driving south on the Southfield Freeway when he suffered a hypoglycemic episode. The complaint says Griglin exited his vehicle in an effort to summon the Allen Park officer. Then he was pulled over by an Allen Park officer. Dearborn officers also arrived on the scene to assist, according to the court document. The complaint alleges that police came in contact with Griglin's insulin pump in Griglin's stomach and diabetes equipment in his vehicle, but still threw him headfirst into the ground. A reasonably competent police officer properly trained in the use of force would not have beaten, assaulted, and battered Mr. Griglin, says the complaint.
I'm waiting to hear something to the effect that because of his diabetic attack, that for some reason he flailed upon the officers or something like that.
Nope. Sounds like he pulled over and tried to essentially flag down the cops for help. Police reports from the officers released Monday to the Free Press under Freedom of Information Act requests tells a different tale. In her account, one police officer, Tracy Brown, said she had to wrestle Griglin to the ground after a five-mile car chase, and he became combative. Brown wrote in her report that she noticed Griglin stopped his car at a green light in the middle of Southfield Road. When she approached him, he yelled something about getting into a verbal argument with his wife. But when she told him to pull over to the side of the road so he wouldn't cause an accident, he drove off. Brown said she called for backup, turned on her lights and sirens when Griglin continued on the road. When he finally pulled over, he put his hands on the hood and wouldn't answer Brown when she asked him why he wouldn't stop, she wrote. And when she told him to put his hands behind his back to be handcuffed and arrested for fleeing and eluding, he locked his arms, then started to run when Dearborn police backup arrived.
Now that's the officer's report.
This is one of the officers, yes. Officer Brown reported she grabbed the back of Riglin's shirt to stop him. Brown and two Dearborn officers then wrestled him to the ground. In a report filed by the Dearborn police, they claimed they had to spray Griglin with pepper spray to force him to comply. Once Griglin was handcuffed and picked off the ground, Officer Brown reported that she noticed the insulin pump going into the side of Griglin's body, a bloody nose, and a bump on his forehead where he hit the cement after being wrestled to the ground. Griglin started to complain about police stopping him, speaking in slurred words, the report states. That prompted a breathalyzer field test that found no alcohol. Griglin told the police he wanted medical attention because he wasn't feeling well. Again, he was in a hypoglycemic episode at the time. Not sure what exactly that entails, but it doesn't sound like fun. Police took Griglin to the hospital, though the report doesn't state which hospital. Police confirm it was Oakwood Dearborn at a news conference today. Mr. Griglin's wife, Pamela, said she and her husband had gone to see Indiana Jones on June 15th. They had popcorn, candy, and sodas. They watched the flick. Then he dropped her off at the Fairlane Mall in Dearborn. She said she didn't know where he was driving to next, but she soon found herself at the hospital where he was taken with head injuries. He said they beat him, and he complained about his head. Since having brain surgery, Mr. Griglin has remained unconscious. So we can't really get his side of the story. I don't know how conscious people are during a hypoglycemic episode. I'd be interested in learning more about what that exactly entails. But the police chief said that legal counsel has advised him not to comment on the allegations. He says it's a sad event for everyone involved. Another spokes bureaucrat from the Department of Public Information declined to comment. She said, on behalf of the city, we want to express concern for Mr. Griglin and his loved ones as they deal with his serious medical condition. She said before the press conference, it would be irresponsible to respond to a press conference held for dramatic purposes, she said. So that's where it ends. This man says he was having a hypoglycemic episode, that he pulled over the car and was attempting to flag down the police. That apparently then at some point the cops threw him into the ground and beat him to the point where he needed to have his brain surgically removed. The cops say...
Part of it.
The cops say that the story is different, that he was fleeing. The cops say that they had to wrestle him to the ground and that this guy was being generally ornery.
Well, the ducks are in rows on this one.
Yeah.
I'm left here going, what the hell happened? And... You know, when I'm left that way, that's how the general public's going to be left. And, you know, it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I was he having a diabetic situation, or was he a jerk that happens to have diabetes? I don't know.
Well, one thing's for sure. We certainly can't ask Mr. Griglin.
Nope.
Because he's unconscious and has been that way since the surgery. So there you have it. Another episode of the police beating the hell out of a diabetic man. And this isn't the first time it's happened. There have been... other bureaucrats. In one case, it was a school vice principal that was pulled from his car in the parking lot of a convenience store and beaten to a pulp by the police.
That was probably the most egregious one. I mean, you know, he's sitting there with his head nodding. I think that might have been epilepsy, though. But either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they actually punched out the the passenger side window and drug him out that way, cutting him and all that stuff. That incident makes me wonder about this incident, but I don't know, you know?
Well, it's hard to be absolutely sure what happened. Obviously, none of us were there. But the fact that these things have happened before really does indicate that it seems like a lot of police have this trigger-happy kind of... I mean, I'm not talking about shooting people, but this, they want to fight. Like, a lot of cops want to fight. And we've talked to Barry Cooper before, former law enforcement officer, former drug cop, who told us that it's about the adrenaline rush. He told us that basically when you start as a cop, you get a rush from just pulling somebody over. And then after you've pulled people over a thousand times, that rush is no longer there. And so you have to kind of up the ante a bit in order to get that rush back, to get that adrenaline boost that you're looking for. And so what you might do, for instance, as Barry suggested, he would arrest somebody and accidentally leave the cuffs undone so the person could, if they so chose, get up and run off, which would give Barry the excuse to go run after that individual, tackle him and beat him or
Clobber,
whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. So it would, again, give him that boost of adrenaline that he was looking for. And so it wouldn't be unusual for these cops that we're talking about here in Detroit, in the Detroit area, to just use whatever excuse they possibly could. Oh my gosh, he was weaving through traffic. He must be drunk. Let's beat the hell out of him. To beat a 59-year-old man. Now look, I mean, that's another thing, right, Mark? 59 years old. Most 59-year-old men aren't the most spring chickens. And he certainly, I mean, he was out at a movie earlier in that afternoon, 59 years old, diabetic. It doesn't sound good, but... Right.
I just don't know. I'm left not knowing is kind of how I feel here. You know, if some guy was being violent towards the police, and that's what they claim, mm-hmm. and I don't know, then... Do I have a problem with them throwing him to the ground and putting cuffs on him? No. Could, in the process of him being thrown to the ground, he could hit his head on a curb or a parking stop? Yes. Could that kill him? Yes. Or damage his brain to the point a part has to be removed? Yes. It's unfortunate. And, you know, I'm just, I don't know. I'm left kind of, 50-50 on this one. It doesn't sound good, but, you know, it just kind of added up in the evidence, I guess.
Also want to find out more about what a hypoglycemic episode is, so I'm going to dig around here in the realm of the Internet in a bit. We'll find out exactly what that means, when it is that somebody... What is it like for someone when they're having one of these attacks? Does it completely just lock you out from your surroundings? More on the way. Free Talk Live. You take control and bring up anything.
It's time now for the Encore Effect Minute, with thoughts and commentary to inspire you to achieve a remarkable performance in anything you do. Here's acclaimed speaker and best-selling author, Mark Sanborn.
I like to think of preparation as the process of finding that crucial 5%, the extra 5% that no one else will be able to match. How do you find that crucial 5%? First, find things out about your audience that they won't imagine you could possibly know. Next, anticipate every question and prepare strong answers. Third, rehearse every problem that could arise. Number four, know more about your competitors' products than even they do. Number five, become an expert in your field. Number six, give your performance gravitas that your audience will not forget. Number seven, give your audience more than one reason to invite you back. For the Encore Effect Radio Minute, I'm Mark Sanborn.
For more information on how you can achieve an encore performance, please visit MarkSanborn.com. That's MarkSanborn.com. Every day we are called to perform, at work, at home, in our communities. But is it possible to make every performance outstanding, the kind that leaves people applauding for an encore? Mark Sanborn, leadership expert and best-selling author, says that anyone can achieve a remarkable performance time after time. In his new book, The Encore Effect, Sanborn demonstrates how you can achieve extraordinary results in all aspects of your life. The Encore Effect by Mark Sanborn is available wherever books are sold.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Cameras are everywhere, above stoplights, on toll booths, and scanning the freeways just waiting to snap a photo of your license plate only to slam you with ridiculous fines. In California, red light tickets are as high as $400. Spray Your Plate is a spray-on photo blocker that protects against all types of cameras. Spray Your Plate photo blocker spray reflects and protects against flash photo images, making your plate unreadable. One can of photo blocker will pay for itself many times over, last forever, and is completely undetectable. You cannot afford to not be protected with Spray Your Plate photo blocker. Call 1-800-276-9601 or go to sprayyourplate.com. That's sprayyourplate.com. All orders are kept strictly confidential. You are no longer defenseless against Big Brother, who is watching us all. Go to sprayyourplate.com or call 800-276-9601. That's 800-276-9601 today. Don't give your money to the state. Spray Your Plate.
Would you like to know how you can use water as fuel and laugh at the rising price of gas? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has the information you need to learn about the newest hydrogen technology available. GasFreedom is an affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns efficiently and provides the energy your car needs. In just 10 minutes, you'll discover exactly how this is possible. This is the secret the oil companies don't want you to know. Learn how easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car and experience the most powerful hydrogen cells available. Visit gasfreedom.info and receive $59.95 off of your order by using coupon code GCN. Turn any car into a hybrid and laugh all the way to the bank. Visit gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. Call today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is
Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want if you dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, including the updates. You get signed up, we'll clue you in whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Just go to updates.freetalklive.com. Get on the list for free. That is updates.freetalklive.com. And what if a socialist or fascist became president of the United States of America? President Barack Obama, John McCain, the North American Union, unconstitutional gun and drug laws, a national ID card. What is your trigger point? If it happens, what will you do? Free State Project participants choose what event will trigger their move to New Hampshire to join the fight for freedom. Check it out at freestateproject.org and get involved, because if you love liberty, then you really need to seriously consider the Free State Project. Head over to freestateproject.org as we go to your phone calls about what you want. First up, it's Alex calling from New Jersey on the Amp Line. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I was going to explain what a hypoglycemic episode is and what that entails.
How do you have so much expertise on this before you get into your explanation?
I am a certified emergency medical technician.
Ah, excellent. Okay, so you've got street cred. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so we went on a call one night, and there was a diabetes patient, and he didn't eat after taking his medicine. And his blood sugar dropped dramatically. Probably it was around 50 to 60 milligrams, which is terrible, which is the definition of hypoglycemia. Now, the problem was that he had no clue where he was. He had no clue why all these strange people were in his house, all crowded around his bed. So he was very, very confused, and that's part of it. Now, we had to have the cop restrain him because he was getting violent with us. And it's not because he was drunk or anything. He looked drunk. He was pale. He was getting violent. He had slurred speech. He had no clue what was going on. But he wasn't drunk. He was diabetic, and mm-hmm. we knew that. So we had to have the cop restrain him because he was fighting us.
Was it necessary to have four cops kick in his head in order to restrain him?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm not justifying what the cops did. I'm just saying that in my particular instance, the cops behaved well. And not all instances do cops do that. And I do recognize that they do abuse their powers. But I had a good experience because when we had ALS, which is Advanced Life Support, they came and they gave him a massive dose of sugar. And you saw him. His skin color was back. He just propped right up, and it was like he was waking up out of a sleep. And he came, and he goes, "Whoa, I'm sorry, guys." And he started talking to us, and he didn't even have to go to the hospital. We just said, "Make sure you remember to eat after you take your insulin." And sometimes people with diabetes forget to eat. And, they say they'll do it later, they put it off, and that's how these emergencies happen. He didn't have to go to the hospital. He signed his RMA, and we just left.
So basically, people that are having a hypoglycemic episode are essentially, from what I understand, there are different severity levels. But, at the most highest end severity, they could be in a total fugue state, not knowing who they are, where they are, what they're doing. And Johnson, one of our producers, is suggesting that many of the symptoms include negativism, irritability, belligerence, combativeness, and rage. I imagine that's on the higher end of the scale of these episodes.
Absolutely. And if their blood sugar drops too low, they will die after going into a coma. So if in this case, if I was the cop, which I probably would never be, but I would go, I would radio in for Advanced Life Support because I see this guy, he's not drunk, and he's acting belligerent, and he's fighting me. I would try to calm him down, and if he doesn't, just let him...
You said he looked drunk, right?
Well, if he looks drunk...
Okay, he looked drunk, but they didn't test him until the handcuffs were on, which makes sense to me. If somebody, as the cops claim, was... you know, being violent with them and running away and all that stuff, it would be very difficult to administer some kind of alcohol test. So this is what I'm trying to discern for myself in this situation is I don't expect the cop to know the difference between a diabetic, hypoglycemic something or other
episode,
and drunkenness and, you know, a guy who's being a real jerk. I don't expect them to know the difference. And, you know, I can kind of play a scenario in my head, and I want to give the police the benefit of the doubt. I think that too many police over time have been given the benefit of the doubt, and, bad things have happened, and more bad things have been the result, and they haven't been reined in. However, I don't know in this instance what's going on from just the story, you know?
Well, as the complaint suggests in the story, whatever it was that happened, I think that the reaction from the police was way over and above what was necessary in order to calm down a 59-year-old.
I gave a situation to you. If the 59-year-old was being violent, I wouldn't have a problem with the cops throwing him to the ground, because you can't just lightly place a man who's being violent on the ground. A 59-year-old man, pretty strong guy. He has not reached that point in his life where musculature is diminishing because of age. He's strong. So you have to throw him to the ground. If in the throwing to the ground he hit his head on the curb, I can see that situation. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility to me.
I'd like to ask the EMT, what if you're in a hypoglycemic state, do you have the motor function and cognitive ability to really pose much of a threat?
Like to lash out specifically at somebody?
Yeah.
Well, you don't. We have a scale. It's called ANO. And we test to see how with it someone is, how conscious they are. And it goes times 3 times 2 times 1. And it goes person, place, and time. Now, if the person doesn't know who they are, they don't know what time it is, and they don't know where they are, then I would assume, I don't have diabetes, so I don't know, but I would assume that that's a very scary situation, and that they have no clue who these people are or what they're doing here, and you don't even know what your house is, you don't know where you are. So I can imagine that would be a very scary situation. I have no experience, but, all I know is what I see, and when people are in this hypoglycemic state, they do get violent. But like I said, with proper, just a little shot of sugar, they'll prop right up and they'll be great, and they'll just sit up and talk to you and apologize. And that's what I know.
Did that answer your question?
I obviously I don't think that the police report tells the complete truth, because I don't think any police reports tell the complete truth.
No. They've been caught red-handed lying on police reports many
times. Absolutely. I'm just telling you that I had a good experience with a police officer who did help us out, and we were able to get this man back on his feet.
But my question was more, just because he's hypoglycemic, he would still be able to pose a threat to the officers. I mean, he would still have, it would depend on how severe the state it was, but he would still be able to, say, throw a punch and actually coordinate his movements to actually fight the police, right?
Okay. Very good. Alex, appreciate all the information and the call tonight. 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And so it still is he said versus she said, as far as the cops versus this man, that was 59 years old, thrown to the pavement by a force of 4 or 5 cops because he was being belligerent due to the fact that he was having a hypoglycemic episode. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
We live in a world of vanishing privacy. The added threat of invisible radio waves sending out personal information to anyone willing to receive them makes our privacy as citizens even less secure. The RFID tags and ID cards have been proven to be not secure. Thieves are able to read information stored on these tags to steal your identity. Protect yourself from ID theft with our RFID blocker, available as a wallet or passport case. ProSpy.com offers simple, affordable personal protection. Many countries, including the U.S., have begun to institute RFID in passports. Why take a chance? This is your personal information. Protect yourself. ProSpy.com also offers a complete selection of spy gear and security equipment, including bug detectors, camera finders, countermeasure equipment, and night vision gear. ProSpy.com is your source for high-quality spy and security equipment. Visit us online at ProSpy.com. That's ProSpy.com today.
We all know that the Berkey water systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon-222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrites, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 2.5 years, serving thousands of satisfied customers, we offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with 2 black Berkey filter elements and free KDF shower filter for only $209, plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping and 1 KDF shower filter, a $49 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you want to pay for the government bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? You may have no choice. Obviously, taxpayers are on the hook for over $6 trillion. That's right, $1 trillion in mortgages held by these two corporations. The part that most people don't realize is that this bailout can have significant adverse effects on their 401ks and IRAs. Unless you're planning to help pay for this bailout with your personal retirement funds, you need to act now. The solution is to fund a self-directed IRA with gold and silver. Put your retirement money beyond the reach of government financiers today by calling 1-866-323-5665. SafeGrow IRAs are just a phone call away. That's 1-866-323-5665. Mike or Jim at Midas Resources can help you protect your retirement nest egg. Get informed and ask for our free report on the unseen fallout of the Fannie Freddie rescue. Call 1-866-323-5665.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want by dialing toll-free to 1-800-259-9231, the Sickle CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site there are free, so enjoy those on us. And they include the archives, an entire year's worth of the show, front page of the site, for your downloading convenience. So enjoy them all at freetalklive.com. And don't forget to visit our friends over at SACL CAI. If you've got a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections, and I was actually on the phone with one of our radio affiliates, WSTP in Salisbury, North Carolina, and the program director there happened to mention to me that he was burdened with collections, like collections was really bad. And so immediately I thought of Jason Osborne. And so I sent over an email to Mike from the radio station introducing SACL and giving him a link to the website and a phone number to call. And who knows, maybe one of our radio stations will become a client of SACL CAI, because, man, it's a pain. He was complaining about, you know, the whole process of he wants to keep these people as clients, but he doesn't like making the calls, and he'd feel better if he could have somebody else being the bad guy. And I said, well, you know, as far as being the bad guy is concerned, it's my understanding that SACL CAI treats people with respect, and that's one of the ways they get the money paid back. is they're treating people with respect, and on top of that, they record all their calls, and they've got the best equipment money can buy, so you know you can check up on them, basically, and make sure they're doing the job as they have promised to do the job. You can go to Sickle CAI's banner on our website at freetalklive.com. Click through there to learn more about them. That, again, is Sickle CAI if you need help with collections, and they also do early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. So 800-259-9231 is our number. A few more comments real quick on this diabetes story. As far as, instead of just raking the cops over the coals for being the violent people they, in many cases, can very well be.
They're violent because they have a monopoly privilege on violence.
Right,
they are the ones
to,
in society, they're allowed to use violence.
I wanted to talk about how this could be different in what would this situation be like in a more free market-based situation, in a realm where the police were funded on a consensual basis instead of this monopoly situation that we have today. Would you have, for instance, an indicator that comes up upon pulling up a license plate number that says insulin patient or diabetic or some sort of alert that will, you know, could possibly clue an officer in advance to
you're concerned about privacy.
Condition.
Would you want the government knowing that you're a diabetic?
This wouldn't be the government. It would be a private organization.
Would you want everybody to know that you are a diabetic? Would you want it to be on your credit report?
I don't know why that would matter on a credit report, but as far as being treated right and being given the appropriate attention that you need to be given in a situation like that, it would seem to make sense. Obviously, it would probably be an option. It'd probably be something you could choose to have, but if you are somebody who is put in a dangerous position like that where people could lash out against you with force, wouldn't you want those people to know that fact about you?
Yeah,
I think it's experiencing
to me, it seems like this situation, no matter which story it is that you believe, could very well have happened anywhere. That's how I see it. I mean,
could have happened anywhere. Okay,
right. I don't see
where you're coming from on that. What I was talking about is some of the things that maybe the marketplace could invent, could innovate in order
people
to prevent
things
like this.
People are very concerned about their medical history. The fact is, if I give some private company that might be pulling me over, and I don't know how that's going to work, information on my driver's license that they would then have to share, like the driver's license company would have to share with the private company that I was a diabetic. That if I'm sharing with the driver's license company, it seems to me that my insurance company could get that information, or a future employer who might say, look, I don't want diabetics here, or somebody could look me up on the internet, and somebody who just started dating me, I want somebody who's clean and healthy to date. I don't want to date somebody with diabetes. And people would want to protect that information like they currently do. I don't see that would necessarily be a protection, and I feel like the situation could likely have happened anywhere. I don't know what the facts are of this case. Maybe the cops did jump four deep on this guy and just beat the crap out of him for fun. It certainly happened before. Him not wanting to stop is going to raise adrenaline levels, and that makes me suspect them. However, I think that it's just as likely that he was in some kind of delusional diabetic episode and could very well have lashed out. One of the scenarios there was one of the symptoms was rage and violence. Could have lashed out. The cops dealt with him in the way that you would deal with somebody who's lashing out with rage and violence, even though they have a medical condition. Anybody can claim a medical condition. It's the chemicals in my head that make me violent and rageful and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I was just trying to come up with something, Mark, that the marketplace could possibly do over and above what the current police situation is doing. You're saying no one would be interested in that. That's fine. It was just an idea, and I'm no expert at these things, so I'd love to have your thoughts as well as to what could possibly improve upon a situation like that, something the marketplace could do to perhaps inform people, because if the police perhaps were more informed in a situation like that, they would be able to act more appropriately.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
What you might see is, and it varies from police department to police department. Under the current paradigm, obviously it's government police, but some police departments are, they cross-train all of their officers as EMTs because quite a few of the issues that come up, they're going to be dealing with medical issues or with accidents where there are medical issues. And I would think that in the marketplace, you would probably see more of a demand for if you're going to have market-based police or just market-based security. You probably see more demand that the police or security forces be well-trained in emergency medicine, things like that, because I think customers would want to know that, and it would be more efficient from an economic standpoint to have your employees both be able to give medical emergency services as well as security.
He's protection. Absolutely right.
So competition could bring that about.
Yeah, in an arena of competition, you would see more, instead of, like, there used to be firemen and, you know, in volunteer stations where there's not a lot of competition for jobs because, well, there isn't a job, it's a volunteer position. You just have firemen, you know, guys that have bought their own equipment, driving their cars to the scene, you know, things like that. In professional fire departments where people compete for the jobs, a lot of cities only allow fire medics now. You have to be a firefighter and an EMT in order to get the job, period. So when there's competition, you will see those things happen. I agree with Nick on this one. So
very good. We continue with your calls. Dennis is on the line in New Hampshire on the AMP line. Hello, Dennis.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I was listening to last night's episode, and you were talking about the Free State Project and the 20,000 number and what to do about that.
Yes, sir. And as the husband of the president of the Free State Project, do you have some thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I think actually we're doing fine as is, to be frank. I mean, one problem with dropping the 20,000 number is that all of the people who have signed up and have made a commitment – it's kind of disrespecting them to say, oh, well, you know, your commitment no longer matters. Get here when you can.
Couldn't someone argue, Dennis, that many of the thousands of the signers that we have today, many thousand of them actually signed up at a point at which there was some sort of 2006 deadline, in which case they would all be disqualified anyway?
Arguably. I haven't really paid too much attention to that aspect of it. So, I don't know. There may have been some culling process or something. I have no idea.
No culling process. I've looked at the numbers of signers, and they basically, the Free State Project kept them on.
Dennis, if I could interject, I mean, to say we're doing fine, I mean, at the current rate that the project is growing, I mean, it's not going to hit the 20,000. I mean, if that's the goal, is to actually complete the project, I think it's on track to not complete that for another, what, like 15 years? I mean, it's a long time frame.
Well, there are some plans in effect to try to speed that up, and I think that's good.
Yeah, and right. I was just talking to Dripa, Chris Lawless, via IM today, and he has some plans that he's implementing right now that are going to result in more signups. They're fantastic. They're what should have been being done since day one, and it's amazing. It's going to result in more signups.
Of course, we're talking about the Free State Project, a movement of moving as many liberty-loving activists to New Hampshire as possible. It's a great idea. In fact, there was some discussion going on about this issue on the Free State Project forums because I posted the issue there. And I think I've come to the conclusion now that instead of perhaps eliminating the 20,000, maybe it should be just de-emphasized a bit. Perhaps the larger counter on the front page of the Free State Project website should be the amount of movers. The smaller counter should be the 20,000. You know, could still include it for, as you're saying, for the reasons you're giving, and Dennis will bring you back if you've got more comments here, you know, still leave it up there for those that find it important, but maybe not make it the primary goal anymore. And I know that sort of shift has already begun to some extent. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with a very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 600 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 600, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 600, WebEx.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
As a parent, your biggest fear is getting a phone call that your child has been attacked or worse. With your child going to college or moving out on their own, it's important to keep these safety tips in mind. Teach them to be aware of their surroundings. Walk on well-lit paths with friends or students. Secure the windows and doors of their dorm room or apartment. Know how to reach campus security. Always tell someone where they're going and when to expect their return. And always carry a self-defense device.
This important message is brought to you by PepperSpray.com.
PepperSpray.com features a full line of products for college students like pepper spray and mace, as well as window locks for dorm rooms or apartments, personal alarms, stun guns, and nighttime safety items. Enter school in the coupon code box and receive 10% off your order. Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com or call 800-908-9988. That's 800-908-9988.
Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org. Go to hempusa.org. And call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
High fuel prices for gasoline and diesel are taking a huge bite out of budgets for individuals and businesses. But there is something you can do. Fuel Saver Incorporated's Fuel Enhancer Formula will not only stretch each gallon of fuel further for mere pennies per treated gallon, but also cleans fuel injectors, pumps, and reduces emissions. Average improvement in fuel economy typically ranges from 8 to 20% or more, saving you 30 to 80 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump. Now there's a boost for your budget. Fuel Saver Incorporated's product is completely safe for your vehicle, gas or diesel. In fact, the product is currently in use in motorcycles, cars, trucks, buses, RVs, boats, ships, and locomotives. Go to FuelSaverInc.com today. That's FuelSaverInc.com. Or call toll-free 866-768-7811. Call now, 866-768-7811, or go to FuelSaverInc.com. Fuel Saver Fuel Enhancer. Start saving on fuel today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231, and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want. Just dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site there, free. Enjoy those on us. And if you like the show, want to help support Free Talk Live, you can go place a bid on our banner auction. It's going on right now. And it's only going for another 16 hours or so. So it ends sometime tomorrow morning, Eastern time. Probably not the best time for the auction to end, but whatever. Anyway, it's we'll have another one if you don't win this one. So go to auction.freetalklive.com. Place your bid. You'll win the second banner on the website for an entire month if you're the top bidder. And you can advertise virtually anything. So once again, place your bids over at auction.freetalklive.com. As we bring back Dennis in New Hampshire for other thoughts or related thoughts to the reason you called, which was the Free State Project possibly de-emphasizing or eliminating the pledge, the 20,000 number, the original goal of the project to reach 20,000 people who have pledged to move to New Hampshire within a 5-year window of that 20,000 number being reached, bringing as many activists here to New Hampshire as possible for to advance liberty in our lifetimes. Go ahead, Dennis, with your thoughts.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a multi-pronged approach, if you will. And I think the best first prong to spearhead things is exactly what you guys did with the first 1,000 project. Getting people to move here now, people who are just fed up or have been wronged or whatever, getting them to do something and move here right now. Because just before I moved to New Hampshire, and I'm looking at the Free State Project message board and stuff, so much of the discussion was stuff like, you have to be here to know really what's going on. And that just angered me. Like, well, why don't you tell me what's going on? But having, you know, now that I'm here, I have to say, you know, you really have to be here to know what's going on.
Well, I don't know. I think the Free State Project has done a good job at solving that objection by putting so many blog posts up on their front page. Now, if you go to freestateproject.org, they're syndicating blogs from all across the state.
They're trying. I understand where you're coming from on that, but you can go on the internet and hear all kinds of blogs from all kinds of libertarians everywhere, and it may give people a taste of what's going on. But I think, you know, when I say there's this sort of movement towards liberty here, you don't get that feeling outside of the state. You don't understand that. And that's what, like, to me, it is inevitable that we're going to see smaller, less intrusive government here in New Hampshire. I'm not talking here. I'm not, you know, just making stuff up. I believe that in my heart. That's what's going to happen.
I'm with you.
And so, to me, it's inevitable. That doesn't feel that way anywhere else, and you can't even describe that feeling to somebody.
No, probably not, but I can say that having seen some of the videos of some of the activism that was going on here back when I was in Florida was a major, major motivating factor for me getting my butt in gear and moving here sooner rather than later. So, to discount those videos, not really fair. I mean, Dave Ridley at RidleyReport.com.
Well, RidleyReport didn't exist when we were making our decisions.
This is true, but there were still the occasional videos coming out from NH3.com. Roger Grant from PoliticalGraffiti.com was putting those out. And so the more of those windows into this world of activism there are, the better. So, yes, Mark, you're right. You can't get the full feeling unless you're actually here, and you can taste what that's like by coming to the Liberty Forum, which we'll tell you about probably later, coming to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, these two major events that the Free State Project puts on. Great way to really get a taste for what that feeling's like in person. But you can still, I think, you know, having those videos and those audio things and the blog posts still does give people a taste of the activism, even if they can't actually be here. I think they shouldn't be discounted.
I agree. And actually, you all ought to know that there is some dissent among the board of directors of the Free State Project. I don't know if this is like secret info. I can't imagine that it is. Some of them are really concerned because there are blog posts on the front page of the website that are so frequent, things scroll off too quickly. And not every post is 100% exactly relevant to necessarily the Free State Project in New Hampshire, because someone puts on their blog, you know, McCain or Obama or just some opinion about something. So,
well, you could always have. I thought you had an editorial crew that was giving things the go-ahead. You're just letting everything just fly through?
Pretty much. Pretty much. People can take things. It's more like an opt-out as opposed to an opt-in. Someone would have to take something down if it was just really inappropriate.
Well, you can always reverse that, and then you could slow down the flow and make sure the articles are a little
I'm
bit more
appropriate.
I'm
glad that you're volunteering to review all the articles before
you,
they go
up. You could do that. I'm too busy posting them, okay, over at freekeen.com.
I hear you. That's what I tell people. But, yeah, you're also right with the Liberty Forum and the Pork Fest. I mean, those really were intended initially to get people to come here and then go home and long enough to pack.
Yeah.
And we really see that happening. You know, people come here, they go, oh, my God, I didn't know there were this many libertarians.
Yeah,
you're doing
sure
what?
Enough.
You're doing what? And as far as what Mark was saying, I mean, yes, nothing sells like actual, measurable, demonstrable success. That's what really
sure
sells. But it's always going to be some steps forward and some steps back. We're going to get, you know, great things to happen, and we're going to have things that suck. And people are always going to point to one or the other preferentially to, you know, bolster their opinion.
Right.
All we can do is just show the successes out there over and over again and say, look.
Yeah, you know, and the people that are disparaging what goes on in the Free State Project, they're line sitters.
They've been QBing the liberty movement for a long time.
Right. They want liberty, and they want it under their terms, and they want it delivered on a silver platter. Sorry,
yeah,
not going
to
happen.
What I've sort of come to do with my opinion has sort of come down to, look, if you have a different strategy, God bless you, go
good
for
luck
it. You know, we'll be over here fighting, and more of us are showing up every day. And, you know, and we would welcome you with open arms if you decide to show up.
Yep, I'm with you there, Dennis. I think that I'm tired of explaining the 20,000 thing. So I think I'm personally going to focus more in on, like you're saying, look what's happening. This is no longer a conceptual idea as it was in 2001 or in 2003 in its incipience, where it really was just a concept. It's no longer that. It really is proof. Proof of concept at this point. We have, with the hundreds of people that have moved, it has been proven that this is, as you said, Mark, I think, inevitable. That's certainly my opinion. I think that with the amount of activism that we're seeing here at this level already, it's almost mind-boggling to imagine what another 500 people is going to mean to the activism here in New Hampshire, let alone what 2,000 activists will mean, or 10 or 20,000. I mean, it's almost impossible to think about what that could possibly mean.
And for those who are considering moving, I think it's by, what's the next 1,000 project deadline?
2000, I'm not sure.
By the end of 2011? 11
yeah.
or 10. So if you're if you really are planning on moving in the next, you know, couple of years, year or two, I would consider signing up for the next 1,000, seriously, because it doesn't have a lot of signers at the moment, but I believe that there are people who are planning to make the move somewhere in that time frame. And I know there are more people planning to make that move sometime in that time frame than have signed up for the next 1,000 project. So if you're already planning on doing it, take the time and go sign up for that so that people know that we can count on you to be here.
There you go. Dennis, any other thoughts?
That's it.
Thanks, dude, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231 to someone in New Hampshire. It's Tom. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, and you guys are in New Hampshire also, and summer ended yesterday morning.
It did.
When do you reckon Keene, New Hampshire, where you guys are, is going to get its first snowfall of 2008?
I don't know. What do you think is going to be early this year?
I'm not the one to reckon these things, Tom, but I can tell you that summer really ended significantly
a
week or two ago before the old equinox occurred.
I think we'll have a white Christmas this year.
Okay, when do you think you're going to get the first snowfall of 2008?
I'll make a prediction of November 5th.
Okay. You already got it back in January.
Uh-huh. That's cute, Tom. Is that all you had for us tonight? You waited a whole hour for that? You did. 800-259-9231. We continue and talk to Jeremy in Montana. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's on your mind, dude?
Oh, I was wondering about put a limit like 20,000 on it? Why not make it 50 instead of trying to decrease it?
Well, I'd actually suggested a few years ago that we shouldn't stop at 20,000. I always thought that once 20,000
it won't stop at 20,000. Once there's 20,000 moved, then we're going to have had success at that point.
It's not like anybody's going to say, "Whoa, that's enough. Keep out. Borders are going up here in New Hampshire. We've got enough." No, absolutely. More people will come after 20,000. It'll be inevitable. It'll be such an incredible movement by that point. If you love liberty, you won't want to be anywhere else. I mean, it'll be so obvious. We won't even have to make any arguments anymore. We won't have to even be persuasive. It'll just be the clear thing to do for people that love liberty. So, yeah, of course we can hit 50 and 100,000 once we reach 20,000. But by that point, it'll be totally irrelevant. Those numbers would be... I mean, it would just be fun to count them at that point. They wouldn't really matter is what I'm trying to say.
Well, here in Montana, I mean, personally, I could care less if all the co-op, all this financial BS going on, back east or whatever. But here in Montana, I mean, as far as the local farmers markets and things like that and the local businesses, I mean, maybe we're not doing as good as it was, say 5 or 10 years ago. But
well, I mean, the marketplace is a powerful thing. Jeremy, thanks for the call. More is on the way. You can take control of the airwaves. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Over the years, Genesis Communications Network has grown by leaps and bounds, reaching millions of listeners. The impact on political and social issues have been enormous. Businesses associated with the network have grown to become valuable enterprises. If you are accredited and have an entrepreneurial spirit, national radio may be the opportunity you're looking for. Call me today at 877-996-4327, extension 101. For more information, that's 877-996-4327, extension 101.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.